Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
I only bring it up
because you're a sicko.
That a junkie for jersey collection. And what did they do?
Do you have a Sabres turd burger too?
I do have a turd burger that I gave to my younger siblings.
See, you couldn't hold on to that. You know what's in that?
Sports Talk Saturday.
Your ideas, sometimes, man. I don't know what sometimes I think, why am I here?
All I got to keep the eyes open. Keep the eyes open.
Navy uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with the early 2000s.
I'm bringing Navy back.
Everyone did it. You're going to send me to therapy.
I need an adult.
You're going to be the reason I go to therapy at some point. And if friends are the ones sending you to therapy, isn't that the right way to go?
On WGR.
Yeah, they're not. I feel like it's not a true friendship unless one ends up being in an intensive therapy session.
Sports Radio 550.
Speaking of things that make you go to therapy, I'm reading the update and the Bills made Matthew Judon official. So, cool. Thanks for that timing. Really appreciate that. Where was that 2 minutes ago?
Yeah, Matthew Judon.
So, by the way, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you on another colder, but not cold as yesterday, Saturday.
What
yesterday
happened?
Was oppressive.
What happened? I walked in here in the 5 o'clock hour, right? Getting ready for the morning show.
In the 5 o'clock hour, that means 5 a.m.,
yes,
everybody.
In the 5 o'clock hour.
In the 5 o'clock hour. That's 5 a.m.
Yes. And it was near 50 degrees. I walked in a sweatshirt.
Right.
I was feeling good. I was
this
is amazing. Owen Parker and I walk out later in the morning. And it was 30 degrees, blustering winds. What happened? I was nervous more for any rain that came down because it was raining. That
right,
was what was going
then,
on.
It's going to freeze and total conditions of hell.
What happened here? I just don't understand it. Because even walking from the Sabres game the night before, the arena.
It was so nice out.
The bars around, everything like that. It was beautiful. I had a coat and it was in my arms the whole time. I was actually rather frustrated I wore it because it just became something I had to carry with me the entire time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this feels more appropriate today. I don't know what was going on.
It's
yesterday.
Not yesterday.
Totally flipped around.
Yeah, that weather was nonsense yesterday. That was come on now, what are we doing?
The Settle weather down. Turned quicker than Jake Paul's jaw broke twice.
All right.
You know what? A little bit of respect for him. He did go a little bit of a distance there.
I ready?
Did you watch it?
No.
No?
No.
You didn't watch it?
I have standards.
See, I could respect that fight a little more than Mike Tyson because he did fight an actual fighter, right? A boxer. Maybe it was a little bit, but I didn't watch the entire thing right away. I caught snippets of it on people's TikTok lives that were pirating it, whatever. It's on Netflix now, so I could have easily just watched it, but I just chose not to. I chose the more difficult path.
I have dignity.
One thing I could say, yes, he did get his jaw broken in two different places. Yes, he did. It was a TKO. But for anybody boxer-wise, just saying we can't give him any credit. He just danced around for a couple rounds. Is that not the strategy? What did Floyd Mayweather do his entire career? He just tired the other guy out and landed one big punch, and that was that. Like, Boxing is not just
speaking of shams
brawl.
Of boxers.
Well, Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson will be fighting each other come spring, by the way.
Cool.
That is happening.
Speaking of another guy who managed to dodge people in their primes.
Yes, right. But
Mayweather did more damage to the sport of boxing than Jake Paul is doing to it right now.
His fight with McGregor is what destroyed it. That Conor
right.
McGregor, the UFC
yeah.
fighter. That since that fight, everything's just turned into a stunt match, and like that's
again,
what we're watching.
Mayweather did irreparable damage to boxing.
Yes,
nobody like me. I don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not.
It's tough.
And I know
early
you
2000s
like,
boxing.
I know you like it. And like, if I say the words "Baby Joe Macy" around here, like that hits people
right
in a certain way. But yeah.
Well, even just watching even undercard fights on YouTube, old ones from
yeah.
like the early 2000s, it's totally different.
Right. So it's a different sport now, and again, I think Mayweather is the major reason for that. But cool, he's going to fight Tyson. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm going to be honest with you. I know that's slop on TV, but I'm going to be watching that whenever that happens. I'm sorry. I'm going to be just invested. But
right. This is what's wrong with this country.
Yeah. But yeah, so Jake Paul loses
cool.
to an actual fighter. So kind of got what was coming for him a little bit. So
Bills
we'll
had a 21-0 comeback. Sabres have won 4 in a row. There's a new general manager there. Jake Paul gets his jaw busted. Vibes are up.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so, right? Maybe?
Maybe. 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 Maybe, but yeah, no.
I don't want to see a guy get his jaw broken in two places, but you know,
if
any guy,
if it's going to be somebody, let it be one of the Pauls,
right? Well,
I guess is the way I would say it. If
yeah.
somebody has to make that quote unquote sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
Let it be two terrible influencers.
Yeah, no, it'd probably be the pick, right? If anybody
yeah.
could, but yeah, so that happened last night,
or me, I guess, so that I so that people don't hear me talking.
Well. Yeah, that would be you'd be down and out for a little bit there.
I wouldn't be able to do
you
my job.
You would probably sound like Sylvester Stallone for a number of months.
Ooh.
Yeah, that'd probably be what ends up happening here. Probably what ends up happening. You know, he's getting in, just a sidebar quick, for anybody who watches anyone in the bullpen, anybody who watches the streams during the week, the Rocky thing is now in the updates with the
yes.
movement of everything there. So that has become a conversation piece at different times.
Yep.
Of what exactly is going on there with the other figure it's holding. So
the other figure it's holding?
Yes.
You mean
Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey's face?
Yes. Yeah. So
other figure. It's Spacey face.
Yes. So that's
dismissing Kevin
of,
Spacey.
Speaking
here,
of
man.
Stallone, had to address that. But
all right.
Yeah.
We can
get back on track now. After
except you basically buried that it's Kevin Spacey's face.
I had to bury the lead a little bit. They
yeah, a lot of it. I don't know what you're doing there, but. Yeah, we don't have that much time to dabble into nonsense here. We got a shortened show today.
We are abbreviated.
We are abbreviated today, but it's all gas from here. 803-0550 is the number to call. Bills against the Browns. I mean, I don't know how much appetite I have to necessarily like really get into the nitty-gritty of Bills and Browns until tomorrow. And I think that has just more to do with the Browns.
Yeah.
It is.
It's Myles Garrett and everybody else.
I continue to learn zero lessons from the things that I learned lessons from. And actually, I just don't put them to practice. I learn my lessons, and then I don't, like, fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm not going to worry about this game.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's happened.
Yeah, they beat the Packers this year.
Sure. But also, like, I'm nervous in a sense of not being nervous, because the times I've not been nervous, a la the Falcons game, the Bills have not really come out and done the best they could. So.
Yeah, so there's that, but I don't think I need to ask people, are you worried about an upset tomorrow? Because, like, yeah, the Browns have a great defense, but the Bills are the best second-half team in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fact. It is hilariously proven a week ago against New England. But I think there's a more interesting situation I would want to ask about, and that is this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather the Bills not get the division crown? They have to be the 5 seed, go to Pittsburgh, right? And you're on the road at least for the first 2 weeks of the postseason. Or would you rather have the 2 seed, still have to play the first week in Wild Card weekend, and have Houston come to town? I'm the guy that always says, past results don't guarantee the future outcomes. I'm also the kind of person that says nothing that I say ultimately has a stake in what happens in the field of play.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Houston bothering me? Well, it's not a great matchup.
Especially if you're going to NRG Stadium in Houston.
So this scenario does not do that. They come here.
There is a scenario where that happens, and I do want to get into that at some point, but yes, continue.
So you need the Jacksonville Jaguars to keep winning, really is what that is.
And they play Denver this week. Like that, this game for the Jags, you are a Jaguars fan this week.
But if the Bills also keep winning, they have one more win than Houston.
Sure, yeah.
If they want to get nasty with it and mess around and be back in the one seed conversation, let alone for the AFC East crown,
mm-hmm.
Broncos loss is actually really great for that.
Yeah.
And a Jaguars win would be great. Jacksonville then suddenly also becomes a conversation piece for the one seed, but if Denver were to win, it closes off any and all notions of the one seed at that point. You're not catching them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a win, there's just not enough time. You don't have the conference record for the tiebreaker. It's okay. But you can still go get that two seed and avoid having to walk into Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You also very much could not. So, yeah, this week is going to be very interesting in terms of where the playoff field rolls around and how it's going to start lining up. We are going to get a much clearer picture about the NFL, its postseason, and really get a definitive on its member teams. Now we have a pretty good picture of what it's going to look like at this point. The playoff field really does seem like the AFC's seven are relatively set.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going to fight the battle of mid, and Indy can stay alive. But the Texans take on the Chargers. The Jaguars face the Broncos.
Yep.
There's a lot of positioning that can be solved, or at least thrown into chaos this week. And in the NFC, Detroit and Green Bay are fighting with each other, and Carolina and Tampa Bay for the division. That's it. End of list. The two conferences this year, last year it was so different, the distinction between the two conferences.
Yeah.
The AFC had some of the worst teams in the league, and it was so top-heavy. And the NFC was a little bit more balanced. This year, it is mirrors, these two conferences. And you don't – the five seed might be one of the most dangerous teams in football in both conferences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Rams are currently sitting at the five seed.
The Rams currently sitting in the five seed. And more or less, I'm hinting at Buffalo even though they're the six.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll definitely go through some scenarios because I just stumbled my way through the ESPN playoff machine and the Bills are the one seed right now. So things just happened.
So that's so. But that's the thing is that we don't know where anyone's slotting in.
No.
But
and there are some big games.
Like in the NFC, Detroit is one team that you have to look out for. Carolina and Tampa Bay have to solve themselves. And in the AFC, Indianapolis is a team that we have to keep an eye on. I don't know if it's to look out for. They're not as dangerous as Detroit is, but they're not dead. And then Baltimore and Pittsburgh are fighting with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The bottom of the playoff field is one team alive and another in a division race in a bad division, where the teams are maybe going to be 500 or worse to end the year.
Oh, I just discovered something very horrific, by the way. If you're rooting for the Jags and they do beat Denver, they probably will beat the Colts in week 17, and then they beat the Titans in week 18.
That's the one seed.
They're the one seed. And then the Chargers are coming to Buffalo as you're the two seed. If New England does lose to Miami, which I think Zach Wilson might have given you the best option with that one, but you're going with Quinn Ewers instead.
Are you kidding me? Zach Wilson against the Patriots?
Listen, I know it might sound a little insane, but no film on him this season. Mike McDaniel might be able to unlock something a little different with him. You never know. Darren Waller's healthy. But if the Patriots win, then the Patriots are the one seed. So the Bills look like they're going to be the five seed.
They are going to be the five seed, and it's going to be heading toward Pittsburgh, not Baltimore. Joe, you've said a lot of ridiculous things. Zach Wilson winning a game. Are you kidding me?
He's beat the Bills more than Tua. Well, actually, now that's not true because Tua did beat the Bills this season.
But also, Zach Wilson's just a bad quarterback. Quinn Ewers is probably also a bad quarterback.
You want to know, though? Zach Wilson has one thing going for him. You want to know what that is?
Wearing the number zero as a quarterback?
Precisely. First one to do it.
As in, that's the amount of starts he's going to have this year.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. Doesn't mean I can't hold out hope.
I have more hope about Quinn Ewers beating the Patriots
do you actually?
Than I do Zach Wilson.
I don't know if I do.
No, like Zach Wilson
Honestly, though, with Darren Waller like healthy, that actually could be huge because it's just going to feed the tight end. That guy got 22 points last week.
Did you watch the Alabama-Oklahoma game yesterday?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a big college football guy.
So.
Because the playoff just really infuriates me all
I did
all
watch it mostly because I wanted to see if Notre Dame tears are real, and they are because Alabama won.
Yeah.
Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer. There's this hitch route. It's like deep, like 10 to 12 yard out, or 10 to 12 yard hitch. Nobody's near him. And Mateer throws this ball 15 yards over his man. Mm-hmm. That's Zach Wilson every day, every play.
Broken clock strikes right twice a day. That's all I got to say.
Cool. Against New England, you need more than twice.
Could happen. That's all I'm saying. I've predicted crazier, and it's happened.
But again, I'm not going to go ahead and say there's no hope about the Bills getting the AFC East. I'm just not relying on Miami or the Jets to do it.
Watch it beat Tyrod.
You mean like the Jets being the ones to put it all into flux?
Yeah.
I mean,
because the Ravens game effectively means nothing. That will only give you a break if you lose to the Eagles, if you're the Bills, right? Like, that's, in the grand scheme of things, that's all that's doing.
And you know what's genuinely hilarious, though? That there's still only one team in the AFC that has clinched a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And that's Denver. New England, sitting there at 11-3, can miss the playoffs. Because
that's unbelievable.
If the Colts were to win out and the Patriots lose one of the like a couple of those games, well, they would have to lose out. But their conference record then ends worse than the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's legitimately the roadmap to getting it done.
And then the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be the fourth seed at 9-8, baby. Mike Tomlin wouldn't have it any other way.
Mediocrity defined.
There was a window there if the Bills. So the Bengals, if they lost to the
Bills.
Zero
respect for that division this year.
Yeah, no, that's bad. They could have made the playoffs at 7-10 with a certain scenario. God, now that's dead because they've lost multiple games. But even if they just lost the Bills game, there was still a window for them at 7-10 to be the four seed, and you would be going to them.
Somehow I have more respect for the division that whose leaders are 7-7 in the Panthers and the Buccaneers. I somehow have more respect for the NFC South than I do the AFC North this year.
Well, those two teams, they're the Bills and Patriots of last year. They play Tampa for the first time, Carolina, this week, and then they play them again in 2 weeks to
That's
end the
good.
Season.
That's
so
good stuff.
This is going to come down to the wire in the NFC South. So this is going to be interesting.
That's
here.
Good stuff, though, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have another division game in between the two of them.
Yeah, it's just all playoff implication all the way down the stretch here.
For those two teams, that's cinema right there.
Yeah.
I am interested to... Oh, wait. No, I did my numbers wrong. It's a non-division game for each of those teams.
I wasn't actively looking.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it. It was 2-2 for each of them on the division record, and I'm like, wait a minute. Nope, that's two division games. Come on, Derek.
Yeah, Miami plays Tampa week 17 next week.
There you go.
So
maybe they'll play Zach Wilson there.
Maybe.
Because it doesn't matter.
And then Carolina plays the Seahawks. Oh, man. That's oh, man.
Carolina needs these two games. Oh, boy.
Yeah, they do. I'll be watching the NFC South for the rest of the season, guys.
Wow.
As the outside of the AFC East, NFC South.
So.
Cinema.
It is interesting, though, like how the rest of the year has gone. Like, you have a team that's gone 5-0 in the division, and they're two games back of the division with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, everything about this year has been so weird. And it leads to a really good discussion of, okay, maybe this is the year that the Bills can pull this off because it is so weird. And the Bills, even for as inconsistent as they've been this year, they are the most dangerous team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I think when you come to the ceiling of each of these teams, Denver, you don't trust them offensively at their best because oftentimes they're not complementary.
Bo Nix is hit or miss.
The Packers game gives you some confidence, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots, they're still a young team. There's now real questions about that schedule and what they actually played to get to where they are.
Yes.
Buffalo has thrown that narrative
into the blender and it's off and running.
Yeah, they helped kick it back into gear because for a while there it was, well, they beat the Bills. And then they gave up 21 points pretty much and five straight touchdowns.
They gave up a 21-point lead.
Yeah.
That's where it hurts.
Yeah.
It's how you lost, too. It's not just that you lost.
Well, it's the Zebras if you ask anybody in Foxborough, including the coach.
Spare me.
So.
Pittsburgh, trash.
That's why, okay, I'm fine with the five seed. Can we pencil that in and have Pittsburgh be the four? Because you're just going to go demolish them again.
But now the three teams that might be, two of them are the most dangerous in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
The five seed's not one of them. LA has real problems with their offensive line. And their peak right now is getting by. And surviving can get it done in the playoffs, but oftentimes it won't.
No. But if they had Joe Alt, they'd be a totally different story.
And then there are the two teams with the highest potential. Jacksonville is one of them, too. Like, they're a mystery.
Liam Cohen's got something figured out
there. He's got it going a little bit there, and he's exactly the coaching prospect that people were thinking that he would be. Jacksonville's interesting. But Buffalo and Houston are the most interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, because that defense is that good that they are game-changing in the offense, unlike Cleveland, is good enough to get the job done. It does complement their defense that well. Cleveland's offense is so bad that the Browns' defense has to score.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland's offense cannot get things done. I think it's been better with Shedeur Sanders over Dylan Gabriel, just like every draft pundit would have thought. Why'd you waste a third-round pick on Dylan Gabriel? But it's not just the quarterback, though. The offensive line's not as good as it was a couple of years ago. Jerry Jeudy is not the high-ticket item. There's mistakes every game with him.
Yeah, he's struggling right now.
They don't have consistency with their run game, and that's what happens when Nick Chubb is decimated by injury and you no longer have Nick Chubb.
He's starting to practice, though. He practiced this week with the rib injuries. So he is back. He was a limited participant.
Who are you talking about here?
Nick Chubb.
Not with the Browns, with the Texans.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just talking about like Cleveland's run game has gone down because of that. And then Houston, though, you have Nico Collins, who is a better receiver. The offensive line is still not that good, but C.J. Stroud looks like he's kind of stabilizing again a little bit. Like, he's playing better. That's where your difference is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo
second
is
half
this team. Yeah. They play some of the worst first halves of football that you are going to see. However, the minute that they all walk out of that locker room again, you are dealing with a different football team.
Yeah.
I cannot explain it other than it's a different team than you faced in the first. You know what it is? It's Floyd Mayweather dancing around the ring, tiring you out.
That's all. It's Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope. That's all you're doing.
They don't look good doing it. As a matter of fact, you kind of hate them for it. But then, late into that second quarter, they start showing you a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then this is where it's not Floyd Mayweather, where they come out of the locker room, and now they're just punching you in the face.
They're Rocky Balboa. You're going to stand there and not put your hands up and just get obliterated. Yeah, just like the little thing over there. You're going to stand there and get punched in the face. You're not even going to put your hands up. You're just going to get obliterated. And then you're going to wake up and start landing body blows to them and absolutely murking them. Like, it's a fictional character, but that's essentially what you're doing.
I think that's
your style of football.
That's probably the best way to describe the Buffalo Bills this year. They take their beating in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, da-na-na.
Yeah.
Wrong city. Sue me.
Hey, we got it next week. Playing Philly.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. Yeah.
Know what they are either. So that game should be interesting. But
that speaks to the league as a whole this year and why the Bills, for as Jekyll and Hyde as they are, they're also the most trustworthy.
Yeah. Trustworthy with this team is crazy. But you're kind
of right. That's this season, though.
Yeah.
The league...
You're right, though, because when I was sitting there watching that game last week, there was not a time in my mind where I was sitting there next to my brother, and I was like, you know, they score here, they get the ball back, blah, 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 and I talked myself into thinking that there was nothing to be worried about. Yeah, my inner, the negotiator, I ended up working it out in my own brain, and I was not nervous they were going to lose that game. I thought they were going to win.
I was a little irritated in the newsroom last week, and I'm like, okay. But then I started tweeting it out.
they're a second half team. They're a second half team. They're a second half. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, shut up. Let me cope.
Yeah.
Like, this is not good. Let me cope.
The game plan has to be better. It's not sustainable long term, but it's kind of like crazy and fun to watch.
Hang on. Ready? They're kind of proving it is sustainable, isn't it?
For this season, sure. But like, this can't be the standard. You can't just get leveled in the first half and then be like, we're just going to come back.
Ready? What's the saying? Good teams will make you pay for that, right? Who's
sure.
Good? Who's good this year?
Well, the Bills.
Who's good this year?
I think the silence speaks. I don't know if anyone's like phenomenal this year. I don't.
That's why it's kind of sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in here.
I want to touch on something too. I planted a couple seeds earlier this week. It ended up coming true. So
we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
A little bit of news that was official at the top of the hour with Matthew Judon being added to the Bills practice squad. So, hey, maybe there's something there too. Who knows? At the very least, they've got another healthy body at defensive end.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
In other news, the Dolphins released edge rusher Matthew Judon.
Josh highlight tape in a moment. Question, follow-up. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out. Nate's here. Got to ask Alt Joe, Joe Kelly here, something.
Alt Joe.
Alt Joe. He bets the alts, too, in our same game, probably.
Yes.
Question for you, Alt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard a throat clear, I thought, like, it's just a throat clear. Now I'm thinking, are you sending messages?
I thought so too.
Like Matthew Judon.
I'm planting seeds, you could say.
Oh, yeah. Right. You want Matthew Judon.
I see.
So in the update, you dropped the old Matthew Judon available. All right.
Planting seeds. Trees happen to grow from those seeds, right? It was a pretty quick growth, I got to say. That happened in a couple days. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer. That clip from the morning show.
I wanted
Jeremy
you
White
to introduce that
Geary.
In because you did it.
I did. Matthew Judon. We waited until it was official. Now it is. He is on the Buffalo Bills. I know on paper you're like, why? I think you just need to throw anything at the wall and see if it sticks at this point.
Well, also.
And do you want New England to get him back? Do you want the Ravens to get him back? It's kind of a claim him to claim him scenario.
Judon is also a little on the what should I think about him this year? Because he has zero sacks.
Mm-hmm. But he's also played for the Dolphins. So.
That's tough.
He couldn't wear his red sleeves. He had to wear orange to fit in with the uniform color scheme. But now guess what? Red's in the color scheme, baby. He's back.
So Judon, though, is a player that in years past, he's been a tormentor of the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So that is interesting to look at in itself. Judon last year with Atlanta, 5.5 sacks. The year prior with New England, only 4. But he had this 4-year span with Baltimore and New England where he was kind of a problem.
Yep, kind of. He was a glaring issue.
Especially in New England, his first 2 years out of the three he plays in New England.
Yeah.
By the way, that 4 sacks the last year in New England, it was a sack per game. He only played 4 games.
Yeah.
But in New England, he has a sack per game in New England in his last year before getting injured for the year. 4 sacks in 4 games. 15.5, 12.5.
Yeah, he was a tormentor.
He was a problem.
So if you can squeeze any last little bit out of that,
which we know Miami's not good at that defensively.
Well,
somehow.
It's better than TJ Sanders playing the edge.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at this point, you're in a better shape there.
Do you want to know something fun about Matthew Judon? Here's a fun fact about Matthew Judon, the new Bills practice squad addition.
Okay.
He has two-point conversions.
Oh, okay.
In his career.
Okay.
He has scored 4 points in his National Football League career.
4 points. That's wild.
He has returned two turnovers on two-point conversions for scores.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a really random thing.
Well, and they're like 99 yards.
98.
Yeah.
Well,
technically.
Where he gets the football is going to matter.
Where he gets the football is in the end zone.
Or it might be in the backfield.
It could be.
So, but there's your fun fact. There's your fun Matthew Judon fact.
So he's got 4 points on almost like 200 yards.
He's got 4 points in his career as a defender, which is how do you score 4 points? Even in a career. Like, the best I can get is, like, a kicker who plays one game and he's got a field goal and an extra point. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, that's the typical way you're going to look at it. Like, if I told you you had 4 points in your entire NFL career, how did it get done? And then I go, oh, but you're also a defender. The only answer is it has to be that. But if I said it without the words defender in there, you're thinking, okay, maybe it's a couple of two-point conversions. Or is it a kicker? It's the only way those are going to get done. And then you go, yeah, it's a defending player.
It's pretty funny.
But there it is, 4 points for Matthew Judon in his career. He has two returns, but they're not touchdowns.
Newest added
that's
Buffalo
tough. Ball. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it is tough. But also, that I feel like that's such a cool little stat to like call your own because nobody else is
it's
pretty much
it's probably not common for a defender to have 4 points in their career.
Yeah.
But also, you would like one of them to be a touchdown, right?
Maybe he'll get one. If he gets some time on the Bills, maybe it happens here.
Maybe it happens here. But there you go. Matthew Judon, the Bills did release Morgan Fox from their practice squad, a player that a lot of people were interested in seeing more of.
I think Judon might have a little bit more of a ceiling to do some things.
Judon brings a Pro Bowler brand with him, four-time Pro Bowler throughout his 10-year career. Again, I mentioned the sack totals when he was with New England. He was quite obnoxious.
Quite obnoxious.
But all is forgiven. Welcome to the squad. Do you know what number he's wearing?
I know in Miami, I think he was number zero, but I don't think that
that's probably not
can't happen here.
I think he was eight in Miami.
Or maybe eight, something like that.
I'll tell you right now, it is a double-digit number. It's not what he's usually rocking.
Oh, no.
It's 36.
Don't like it. I'm already not liking that.
36. If Zach were here, he'd be like actually like petitioning a riot. He'd probably say cut him.
That's disgusting, actually. Like in every ounce of the word. I thought I got over my stomach bug. I'm quite nauseous hearing 36 is going on Matthew Judon right now.
36. So.
Can we get a number swap? Anybody?
Now. But with Judon, though, I do like that you really were like not so subtly hinting at that. That was fun. It was hilarious, and then, well, now it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that he didn't go back to Baltimore or New England. That was actually kind of a surprise for me.
Yeah, well, I think also waiver claim-wise, I think the Bills were ahead of them.
He went through waivers. That's how he was able to be added to practice squad.
Right, so
he cleared waivers. That's why I'm surprised, because
yeah,
he could have went back to one of his old squads.
Well, you would think maybe New England would just...
But the New England team he left was not the same squad.
No.
They were a different team. They were conducting
but
their facelift.
But even Baltimore struggling on defense right now, you'd think they might
think
try.
You would think of kicking the tires there. But, you know, that hey, I'll
take a Matthew Judon who's going to... I mean, he's on the practice squad, so you don't know if he's actually going to be... I mean, they're adding him, so you would think they're going to try him
Let's
out.
Let's think about it clearly here. There's three practice squad call-ups before you sign a man to a 53,
and there's
right?
3 weeks left. And then in the postseason, you could just do it. It doesn't
yes.
matter. So
the
that's,
math is mathing.
That's why Phillip Rivers is also a Colt right now as well.
That there, he got signed, though, with four.
Did he?
Yeah. And with four games left, he played one
he
already.
He could be elevated for the fourth time, though, and it doesn't count, right? Or
three.
Is the fourth elevation that's your on the
third.
Roster? Third. Oh,
third,
okay.
You have
third.
To.
Oh, gotcha.
After the third, you have to do it.
Maybe in the last week, they'll just...
They'll bench him.
They'll bench him. If they're going to make it, maybe they'll just bench him.
Or if they are not going to make it, very clearly.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson's also kind of trending towards... I think they activated his practice window, if I'm not mistaken. He's still having some vision issues, though. So, mm-hmm. Be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, Matthew Judon's a Buffalo Bill.
Matthew Judon is a Buffalo Bill. And that's
not ever words I thought would come out of my mouth, I'm going to be honest with
especially you. Especially with how obnoxious his production was against them.
Yeah, he was kind of just... the anti-Bills.
It
right?
was, oh, crap, we're dealing with Judon today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, water under the bridge.
Now, very
said.
Much it's not. It is not, oh, crap, we're dealing with Judon today. It's, oh, Judon's a Bill. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. We'll see what happens.
Or you say it in a different inflection. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Judon's a Bill.
It'll be interesting to see what they actually do with him.
You're probably replacing crap with a different word, but, you know.
FCC.
I like not being fined.
That's good.
Channeling the Marshawn Lynch within me.
That guy who had to get bleeped for 5 seconds straight on the Thursday Night Football broadcast the other night? You like channeling that guy for censorship?
All right. The player.
Okay.
Not the personality.
All right.
Because ever since he's been out of it, he is... Actually, anytime it's not dealing with reporters, he's always been talkative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So...
Especially when he was in Applebee's and all that back in the day.
Yeah,
I came across that video last night.
Like he's always been – it's like Belichick, too.
Yeah.
Belichick, always curmudgeon-y with reporters.
And also, just when he retired, you saw kind of a different side of him.
Anytime he was – but, like, during his coaching career, if he was with NFL Films, he loved talking about the game when he was on with NFL Films.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. So –
because he was talking ball and not getting asked questions about why your team lost or – What's going on in practice?
On to Cincinnati.
Yeah. On to Cincinnati.
So, yeah. This segment kind of became a throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that we're going to, in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll have some fun with the playoff predictor. And
yeah.
Really
things can get really interesting here down the
put
stretch.
Put some scenarios out there for not just the Bills, but the rest of the league and what it could look like there. Because it's going to be fun. Sabres playing tonight, or really this afternoon, 5 o'clock face-off against the New York Islanders. They've won 4 in a row. Vibes are different there as well. I would like to expound a little bit more on the Sabres and how things are working with them.
Because they're interesting again for the first time in a while, because they made a move, actually.
They made a move. You and I were both at the game in different spots.
Yes.
On Thursday. Again, the crowd wants to feel something, and I think that it's there. It was very palpable at the end of that game. Everyone's really like fixated on it. The Sabres obviously holding a close lead, having a penalty kill for 2 minutes out of 2:19 left in the game. It was a really good game, though. The first period was not, but it was one of those that you could escape, though. You and I had different thoughts about this, and I was texting Owen about it too. Oh, man, I hated that first period. I was so mad at them. And I'm like, I'm counting my lucky stars. They got out of that tied at one.
Yeah, that's a
period that if you get away with it, you then can come back out in the second period and start attacking, making up for it. But also, you totally got away with one. You stole 20 minutes.
Sure. I
outshot 12-3 and it's tied at one.
I could see both sides of that. I think I just expect them... Like, if you are expecting them to make the playoffs and, like, start shaping up and, like, actually put a product out there, just escaping isn't necessary. You know the team's capable of more than just escaping that. I think that's where my frustration was. We've seen better play from this team consistently throughout the season, right? Like, they did end up bouncing back, and you're right. They did steal away that first period, but I think a tone setter would have been better for the stomach than what we watched in that first period. So I was kind of with Owen on that, a little frustrated watching that, but then they did bounce back. But I can also see where you're coming from, and they did survive that and actually got away with it. So
they got away with it, and then they took advantage of it. That's the thing. Sabres of past would just continue, or even this year sometimes too, they would just continue to play a poor game.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some interesting thoughts to it. I would like to expound on it if we have the time today.
Yeah, we are abbreviated.
We are abbreviated a little bit today. But we also do have more business to conduct. The Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. I love this segment. You want to know why?
How come?
Because I was omniscient. In a sense.
I'm gonna need a dictionary for that one. You might need to run that back to me.
How you ended up with the Matthew Judon stuff.
Oh, okay.
All knowing.
Gotcha, okay.
Leading into the Patriots game, a couple of times on the Extra Point show, I went with the theme of hate week.
Mm-hmm.
What makes your blood boil about the New England Patriots?
Oh, I'm so glad we're back. I knew it was the time to bring that in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of fun interacting with people about that. They got a just give it to him game, or
yeah, like all the classics.
Yeah, the McKelvin fumble. Yeah. Like there's a lot of them in there. There's a lot of ways that you have the hate for them, and another page added to the lore of Bills Patriots, because it is rich. Hearing New England.
Oh, God.
Of all teams, of all fan bases, complain about officiating.
Mm-hmm.
Spare me. That includes our Odyssey brethren in WEEI.
Who?
Clapping back at Sal Capaccio for having the audacity to bring up that the Bills actually had a touchdown called back on a holding penalty. How dare the truth be spoken? A Boston Herald reporter is, Sal's trying to point out something about penalties, and he's getting indignant about it. Doug Kyed saying pretty, like, Sal brought up, like, it's pretty much accurate every week. Every team fan base, they do think they get hosed. That dude, in a since-deleted tweet, by the way,
mm-hmm.
from the Boston Herald, goes, cool, thanks for showing me a comment from a random person.
Yeah.
Like, why are you being indignant? Yeah. Oh, right. Because the Patriots are good again. None of you deserve Drake May.
No.
None of you deserve Drake May. I don't care. I doubt I'm going to get, like this audio is going to be coming back to EEI for some reason. But if it somehow happens, please let it happen. Because none of you deserve Drake May. The guy who I can't even bring it to myself to cheer against the guy. He's such a delightful person.
Mm-hmm.
And New England gets him?
Well, also...
And then you've got the head coach also saying, oh, yeah, the Bills, they average 2 holding penalties a week. They only got 1. Oh, man!
Yeah.
So they made it 1 less than their average per week, and you think you got hosed because of that?
Yeah, and NBC brother. Sports Boston talking about the need to fumigate earlier in the week, too. Yeah, all of that. And
this
the same people who said the 11th month reign of the Buffalo Bills is over and to lick the white dog turd.
Fan base does not deserve Drake May.
No.
You do not deserve it. You actually deserve 20 more years of being cheeks.
Well, it's turned into...
Unfortunately, I don't get that wish, but you know what I do get? You now having to deal with the narrative of your team hasn't played anybody.
Yeah.
Oh!
Well, and giving up what they did against the Bills really just puts that down.
Yeah, no, like that... Oh, man. You want to talk about catharsis right there. Brother, I'm eating.
Well, mine is in a little bit different of a direction.
Also dealing with Buffalo, oddly enough.
Yes, Buffalo is involved in this by mention. The broadcast for the Flyers radio network there, this clip's been very viral over the past couple days. Seen it in multiple text chains all over Twitter, X, all over just any social media platform, where the broadcasters not realize they are off the air. And says some choice things in like a joking way, right? So it's not all I have to say is this, and I'm not going to say anything about what he said or what he said it about, anything like that, whatever. I'm not speculating. Right. It's more so we've done remote broadcasts before.
We've done remote broadcasts in college. We've all called plays and play by play.
I was a color commentator for the hockey team for a little while there.
I did football. I did hockey above state. Like, I know what it's like to be a play by play guy.
You know when you're off the air, and if you are concerned about that whatsoever, or don't get an all clear from a producer, or hear commercials playing in your ear, you know not to maybe say anything out of the ordinary. If they had just continued to talk like he did that little do-do-do-do-do beforehand, that would just be a funny little gaffe. Like, oh, the producer forgot to send us to break. This turned into a nightmare scenario because the producer did not communicate with them and he didn't have any red flag go off somehow, some way, and it's earned him a 2-game suspension.
And that's us being in the profession, knowing what the job is.
Yes.
And being on both sides of that, of like a play-by-play of sorts, in a lesser extent,
but also having broadcast remotely for this station too, and having produced network stuff, so, right?
Oddly enough, I'm going to have to give the guy that's not mentioned astray here the producer for that game.
No, yeah, the producer also. That's on you, pal. I'm sorry. That is.
It's also on the play-by-play
guy. It's on the play-by-play for not knowing, but the producer also
has to wear it.
Were you in the bathroom? What happened?
Yeah.
Happened here?
It's a TV timeout.
Did you fall asleep at the board?
Yeah, come on. You can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that.
And it wasn't like it was a... Oh, we'll be right back. It was, they're taking a TV timeout, and so will we. Like, it was very apparent they were going to commercial break.
Very clear stuff.
Something fell apart there.
Yeah.
Back at the Mission Control.
Dishonorable mention for the producer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, like, if you're on location, you need the clear. You need to know that you've got it in your ear, either the all clear or the commercials are in your ear, and then you know you could be all right. Actually, even then, you still need the clear. Why? Could happen. You can say it over the commercials. So, I mean, it probably gets drowned out, but still not good. But also, don't be dense when you have a headset on. Is pretty much how I'd say it.
How about any open mic is basically like at that point. Just don't.
Yeah,
anything could be hot. Anything could be hot mic'd.
Yeah, don't say dumb things. Mm-hmm. I think is really the at the end
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, have a filter. I don't know.
Yeah, like that's pretty much it at that point. I've seen a lot of the hockey community like, oh, this is hilarious, this is nothing. You still got to have the presence of mind. There are a lot worse things that can be said on a hot mic, and I think he can count his stars that like that's the case. But it's still not a smart thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not. Let's be real about that. At minimum, it sounds like goofing with your broadcast partner. At worst, it sounds very misogynistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the projection from there, and it's more or less just, you gotta have the frame of mind, man. You're a seasoned broadcaster. That's the other thing. But speaking on the side of, we've done this before on a much lesser scale, but we've done this before, you gotta know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even helped on on-site engineering for some of these games. For some of these broadcast teams, as a matter of fact. I've helped out with Leafs broadcasts or Panthers broadcasts before the pandemic as an on-site engineer for those visiting teams. Montreal I worked with as well. Like, you gotta know. That's simply how it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But speaking of getting to know, we gotta know how to get to break on time on this because we went a little long. We'll take a timeout. Come on back here. Hour number two of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
No, I haven't thought about it. I do like highlight tapes, but I don't like being a part of other people's highlight tapes. I mean, he's an absolutely tremendous football player. He's one of the greatest of all times. And yeah, I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with. And we got to be ready for everything that they can throw at us. But you have to be aware of where 95's at all times.
Josh Allen pointing out the very evident problem in the room, which is Myles Garrett. Do you care if he gets a sack record here in Buffalo?
I think Allen should.
Or against Buffalo?
I think he should turtle up right away and just let it happen so then we don't have to think about it again.
He needs 1.5 sacks.
So maybe twice early on. I don't know. I don't think he'll get it. I think he might get a sack or a half sack. I don't think he gets two. You know, I don't think he gets 1.5 or two.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, but also the Bills have had their problems this year, like Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins, they haven't been the healthiest as they could be. Dawkins was on the injury report earlier this week, again, with an illness, and it took him out for a couple days. I think that it very realistically could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it does happen against Buffalo.
I don't think it's that deep, because realistically,
but
yes.
Also, Buffalo has a tendency to want to run the football.
Yeah, so you might be avoiding that altogether.
You have limited snaps in order to get it done. Not that I'm going to ever doubt Myles Garrett, especially with the season that he's having. But one thing that makes me sad about that, though, is that contract extension because, man, you're having an all-time season.
Cleveland.
Your club has won 3 football games.
I think
that stinks.
If I'm not mistaken, the way they did it, I think there's a way he could easily just get out of there next season, you know? Like I don't think it's an insane ask to be able to move out to a different team after this season. So hey, remember Deion Dawkins was on that like super heavy campaign to bring him here a couple years back?
Yes.
A couple of years back, I'm pretty sure
it was last season. It was the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, it was at the Super Bowl this past year.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not very long removed that was the idea.
Yeah, we played that clip in the morning earlier this week, and I'm like, why not? Why not? Like, next season, let's try and make something happen here.
That contract is why not?
Like I was saying, though, I think they're, if I'm not mistaken, I was talking about it with somebody, and there's a way out of it that they did it so it's not like he's handcuffed there.
Yeah, but like,
you know,
it's the Bills fitting it into theirs.
Sure.
That's the problem. It's not about the Browns. It's about the Bills and the cap space that they don't really have. You know who has that cap space?
New England.
The ref complainers in New England.
Yeah.
God, that's so rich. But
they have like $50 million in cap space. So totally good luck. And they don't have to pay Drake May yet. Yeah. So
totally super annoying. And I hate it.
They're going to do what the Bills did with Stephon Diggs in 2020. I have a good... I could tell
trade
you
for
that
a
right
Vikings
now.
Receiver that's much maligned?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird circle moment. I just have a feeling that's going to happen. And then you're going to have Justin Jefferson in division with Drake May for years.
All right, let's talk about something cooler. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Not yet. Not yet.
Like Notre Dame, I'm taking my ball and going home.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Considering one of the big snubs that they were supposed to be getting in over had a comeback win. Also, like, it was 17-0, Oklahoma, and they blew it. Alabama advancing. Annoyingly so for me. I'm sick of seeing Alabama, but, you know, they won the game, so they proved they should be there. You know, it'd be cool if Notre Dame played the Pop-Tarts Bowl and proved to people maybe we should have been in there,
yeah,
but you know.
Instead of
what they did. All right. So let's talk about something cooler, though.
Are we firing it up?
We're firing it up.
We're turning the engine over?
All right. So
firing up the machine?
Firing up the machine, but also I'm also handing you the keys because this was your idea.
Okay. Keys to the ESPN playoff machine.
What have I done?
Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
I just handed Joe the keys.
These matchups are about to go completely not in the way anyone with common sense would think with me with the keys. But
what are you? Oh my God.
Here we'll go. No, I'm kidding. We're gonna go AFC only. I'm not worried about the NFC as of right now. So we'll go with the matchups that are important to the AFC playoff picture. None of those matchups, except for next week when the Broncos play the Chiefs on Christmas, include the Chiefs because they are eliminated. News to Chris Jones, by the way, after the game. Did you see that clip? He was talking about, like, we got to something about along the lines of, you know, we got to keep fighting to get in.
Right. Right. He did have the news broken to him that, no, you're done.
You're done, buddy. You're done. So, Chiefs are no longer a part of a lot of these big matchups. They are with Denver next week, but we'll get to that as we go. So, we'll start it out. Bills, Browns. Not to jump our pregame coverage and whatever, but I think the Bills win this game.
I would be safe to assume that that's probably going to be the case.
So the Bills top the Browns. It's Chiefs-Titans this week. Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Good news. I don't have to watch that game.
Nope, don't.
There's nothing I need to do watching that game. Oh, wow. What a freeing moment right there.
The Titans don't have a hold on you anymore, Derek. They do not have a hold on
you. And I don't even need to worry about Kansas City either. Oh, my God.
Titans and Chiefs.
I'm free.
Your two hated teams. The Chiefs. Cowboys, or Chiefs Cowboys, Chargers Cowboys, excuse me. This game could get a little interesting here, do you think?
Should we fire up the jinxing machine? Me?
Yeah, sure. Turn it over.
All right, here we go. I'm going to say Cowboys.
Okay, I was too, so I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Maybe it's not jinx.
God, it's going to go so wrong. They're going to lose like, the Chargers are going to win like 33-15 now.
Yeah, yikes. All right, we'll run with it while we can. Okay, this is the big one we were talking about earlier, Jags-Broncos. I'm going to be honest with you. The Jaguars with Liam Cohen, the way they're playing right now, I think they can surprise on Denver here. I don't think Denver's offense shows up enough. I'm going to be honest with you.
So I also have it up, and what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to pick some alternates on you.
Okay.
Like you said, the Cowboys, so I'm going to end up with the Chargers. I'll do the Chargers on this side, and I'll pick the Broncos here as well.
I just picked the Jags.
Okay.
All right, so the next game that means anything – for the Texans' sake, it does. They're going to beat the Raiders.
I'm not going to pick the Raiders here. Come on. Let's be real
here.
Yeah,
no. Just pick the Texans. Don't do it. Steelers, Lions, the Steelers are losing that game.
Yeah.
There's no – I don't know if you could even pick the opposite of that. But.
Detroit needs to stay alive, and I think they'll be able to do so against Pittsburgh.
I'm going to have New England beating Baltimore.
I am too. I don't really suspect that. Like, actually, should I make it different here?
Maybe, because this one could go the other way. If Lamar Jackson kind of wakes up, he played his better game, the best game he's played in a little while last week.
By the way, changes nothing.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
For the AFC North, if it goes Steelers lose, Ravens win?
No.
Pittsburgh still has the lead.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Week then, 17.
Colts.
Oh, the Colts, I guess.
Colts, Niners.
I think the Niners beat the Colts here. So, right. I think that would eliminate the Colts there, would it not? I think they had to win out.
I think they.
Or maybe they'll have a chance to make.
They would have a chance to at least stay alive here, but they wouldn't.
They'd be in the hunt big time. Yeah. So.
They'd be in a problem.
All right.
It's not even in the hunt. They're on their last legs heading into week 17.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So not no great margin for the Colts for error. There. No. Yeah. They have to win out.
And they would need help of teams losing out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. We'll have to look at the final schedules there.
By the way,
see what happens.
Picking the alternates. You picked Jacksonville to win.
Mm-hmm.
I picked them to lose. The current standing has it for me. Jacksonville's now the 7, and the 3-6 matchup is Buffalo at Houston.
So, yeah.
DEFCON 5 on my screen right now.
Yep. I'm looking at Jacksonville's the 3rd hosting Houston, and Denver is the 1 right now. So, this is my screen is the prime situation we want to be in for next
I'm
week.
In the alternate universe that nobody wants.
No, yeah. You are in the, what is it? What is it called in Stranger Things? Just to keep
the upside down.
You're in the upside down.
God help us all.
You're in the upside down.
No, the upside down would be me picking the Raiders to beat the Texans.
Okay. So, we're not fully there. We're like half in the threshold. You're 1 foot in the upside down, I guess. I don't know. So, next week, week 17, Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day, excuse me, the primetime game there starts it out, Broncos-Chiefs. I think the Broncos win. You made a comment earlier, though, that you think Minshew Mania might have a chance here. It's surprising. Are you gonna pick the alternate there? You think Minshew could surprise the Broncos in week 17?
You know what? I like having fun.
Okay.
So, yes, considering that I'm looking at Bills at Texans right now,
yeah.
Yes, I am going to continue to pick alternates here.
Let's do anything to stop that
from
happening.
Let's try to do anything to stop that, which includes the next game on the list, which is Texans-Chargers.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a big one.
Where are you going with this?
I'm going Texans. I think their defense is just going to be too much for the Chargers' battered offensive line. But
that
I do think
shuffles things around
does
again.
It?
But
does
we're going to continue through the week first.
All right. Baltimore loses in Green Bay.
I think that also. I'm not really going to go ahead and like try to force myself to pick opposite of everything here.
The Browns lose to the Steelers the next week.
Yeah, I think the Steelers have that one. The Patriots
they beat the Jets.
Smack around the Jets.
Yes.
Well, you're not going to make the Tyrod pick?
No. I don't. As much as I want that to happen, I don't think so. I don't think Tyrod's playing this week. I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, that's right. He's banged up.
Yeah. So they might be in worse shape by that point. So down under here, bottom second row. This is a big one. Jags, Colts. Colts have to stay alive. Does Phillip Rivers, old man Rivers, does he get it done? I don't know. It's a divisional game.
The problem with that
the Colts actually don't have a bad defense, and they have a good solid offensive line. If Phillip Rivers can make a couple throws and Jonathan Taylor can bust a few big runs, they do have a chance. I think my realism, though, is swaying me really towards Jacksonville. I'm not saying here, though. I think the Colts could win this game, but I'm picking the Jags.
Okay. I am going to pick the Colts.
Okay.
And once again, despite a Texans loss to the Chargers, it puts it back to Bills in Houston.
So everything you're doing over there is just destiny arrives
everything,
in Houston.
Ready? I hope to make these picks my own picks. Why? I have a jinxing superpower.
You do.
I said that Alabama shouldn't have been in the college football playoff and that I don't feel bad for Notre Dame. And then immediately after it's 17-0, they come back and win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked the Patriots to win and the Bengals to win in each of the last two pregames. I'm not going to do it with the Browns. Let's be real here.
No, yeah,
but
I know.
The Bills win these games in often hilarious fashion these last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I have a superpower.
Yes.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, sounds good.
Because right now it still has Buffalo in Houston.
Well, that could change here. The Bills-Eagles matchup. The Bills beat the Eagles, I think.
It does nothing either way.
Right.
In terms of where they are at right now.
Yeah. So that you
because I have the Chargers winning, they don't climb anywhere.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Well, we move on to week 18, the final week of the season. We have a big matchup that could cause some things here to start. Chargers at Broncos.
Hang on. Let's get the first one out of the way. Bills against Jets.
Oh, Bills, Jets. Okay.
Bills need to take care of business because it means something to them.
They beat the Jets.
Let's put that in there and on the board. Right now,
As it currently stands, Buffalo shuffles up to the second seed without a New England final yet.
Okay. I'm even with that win, Bills 13-4, they're still going to Pittsburgh at the 5 seed currently where I'm at. Because New England, that matchup with the Miami is going to be the way this sways here.
Correct.
So
let's do that one a little bit later. Let's get a couple of these other games.
We'll go Chargers Broncos then to start things off. AFC West matchup to end the season. Can the Chargers surprise Denver? I think they do. I think the Chargers upset the Broncos in Week 18. Maybe when they're not expecting it.
Now, ready?
That would,
based on my picks right now.
Mm-hmm.
That, so Denver win obviously puts them at the one seed, 14-3. There it is. A Chargers loss. The Bills, how I have it picked, are locked into the two seed. Why? Because of a conference record tiebreaker with the LA Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, falling short. The Chargers take the one seed in the AFC West.
Whoa.
And Buffalo is locked out currently. Now, what happens with New England? We'll make this a little different.
Yeah, and speaking of, that's the next game we'll do. Patriots and Dolphins. Dolphins in New England. Dolphins can't play in the cold. We just watched that in Pittsburgh. Is it going to be Zach Wilson? Is it Quinn Ewers? I'm picking New England here.
If I pick Miami, nothing changes. L.A., Buffalo, Houston, Pittsburgh are your 1, 2, 3, 4. Denver, New England, Jacksonville are your 5, 6, 7. If I pick New England to win this game, everything's thrown off. New England comes back to the 2. So congratulations to the Chargers on winning the 1 seed in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, New England takes the East. New England, Houston, Pittsburgh there. And then it's Buffalo at the 5 over Denver.
Yep.
Because they will have the better conference record. Denver at the 6. Jacksonville heading to New England for the 2-7.
Okay.
A little wild stuff, but we also do not have Jacksonville's game against the Titans picked. Which then, I would imagine that the Titans are the Titans and that they're bad. It turns the scenario into Chargers 1, Patriots 2, Jacksonville 3, Pittsburgh 4. Pittsburgh hosts Buffalo. Jacksonville hosts Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Houston goes to New England. And if it has to be drawn up like this, whether it's the Broncos or the Chargers, because if I pick that game and I flip the standings on it, it's just Denver and LA get swapped.
Yeah.
So say the logic wins here and the Broncos win the division, they win the one seed. You now look at a very fascinating group here. But no matter how you chalk it up, the wild card teams, I don't predict a sweep, but you could pick 2 of 3. To win the game on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
What's yours look like?
So right now, I have the Dolphins beating the Patriots. Just I don't know if it's going to happen. I just flipped it back to the Patriots to see what changes. So what's not changing, what's going to be stagnant here, the Chargers are the 7th seed, the Texans are the 6th seed, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are the 4th seed. So those three have not motioned whatsoever. And Denver will be the 3rd seed. That's where I have them at this point. So, because I had them losing to the Chargers in this
week.
By the
way, in my scenario, if I flip New England-Miami, Buffalo hosts Houston.
Yeah, okay. So that's very different than mine. So, say New England wins. Right now, they're the 1 seed. Jacksonville at the 2 seed hosts the Chargers. Denver hosts the Texans. And Pittsburgh hosts Buffalo. They host the Bills. If the Dolphins beat the Patriots in this scenario, Jacksonville's the number 1 seed. The Bills host the Chargers. The Denver Broncos host the Texans, and the Steelers host the Patriots. So the Steelers, Texans, Chargers, and Broncos stay the exact same. It's the three teams that move around are the Bills, Jags, and the Patriots in mind. So
yeah, Pittsburgh is pretty much locked where they are. Like it is whatever it is. Also, how the hell do I have the Steelers going 10-7? Did I pick Pittsburgh to win 3 straight games?
You might have.
I need to correct that.
Because they beat the Browns. I don't know if you picked them to beat the... the Ravens.
I didn't pick them to beat the Lions.
Did you pick them to beat the Ravens?
I do have them beating the Ravens. That's the one thing that changes. If I swap that, Baltimore gets the win over Pittsburgh in this.
Yeah, I have them at 10-7 too. If I do that, so and that changes nothing. They're just a 4 seed, so they're locked in right now with the AFC North with their current record. I think that's.
But if I flip the Ravens Patriots game, by the way,
it does nothing when it comes to affecting like how New England's treated in all of this. Because, again, the game doesn't ultimately matter for the division race.
But if the Ravens sweep the the Ravens beat the Patriots and the Steelers, then that would make them the four seed where you're going to Baltimore in that week. So you kind of are a Steelers fan towards the end of the road here.
So that's what we've got. It's going to be a lot of fun to see because we're going to be able to take a lot of the guesswork out of it based on the results of what happens this week.
Yeah, it'll be fun to revisit as the weeks go on, especially because, like you said, you know, we're gonna get live updates as things happen here.
But as things look likely at this point, the Bills are probably playing on the road. That's probably the most likely scenario that you draw up. The numbers, the percentages, everything like that. And that's the part that I'm gonna be interested to see what happens here. 803-0550 is the number to call. Get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Go to Scott in Williamsville. Scott, welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Thank you for taking my call. So I'll lay out these things because I got this girl. She's just killing me with her comments, and I'd like to know what you guys think. She says that before Sunday, the Bills' signature win might have been KC, which turned out not that great of a team. And also the Buccaneers, who have lost 5 of 6. And she says that everyone keeps talking about the Bills' win and not so much about the first half, which was horrendous. And then she throws out that the Bills haven't won a road playoff game in 32 years. And I want to know what you guys think about all that.
All right. So, Scott, thanks for the call. Signature win? I'm going to say TBD on this.
Yeah, that might be. You might even be able to point at the New England game. It could be Philly.
It could be Philly in a couple of weeks if that becomes the case. It could be New England. It
could be the Bengals, too.
It could be New England if you take the division from them as well.
But even then, I feel like it could be New England anyway, just because you kind of came back from 21 to nothing, like you stomp it on them, 5 straight touchdowns. Yeah. Like, I do think there's a possibility you could call that just the way the signature win for this style of the Bills team, because that's just how they seem to be playing down the stretch.
As for the Bills in the playoffs, on the road, that's a really big number. I don't like that, obviously. History is against you. However, it's situation dependent. Remember, a lot of what I was doing in the playoff predictor had the Bills for the longest time going to Houston. Nobody likes that.
No, that's
nobody likes that. That's a nightmare scenario. I think nobody wants an appetite for that. Pittsburgh, I'm going to be one of the more arrogant people around here heading into a playoff game where the Bills have not won on the road in such a long time historically. I will be way too arrogant and not care about that number if they go to Pittsburgh. I think it's also their best chance. Because say Houston also makes some noise, right? Say the Bills and Houston win as wild cards. You avoid Houston for another week as well. And Houston's the team that's matched up best to beat you. That part is easily confirmable. The Texans are the team that matches up against the Bills the best. Mostly because they play a brand of defense that is disrespectful.
Yeah.
But I look at it as this is your best, like that's probably the team that you have the worst matchup with. That's the only reason I'm worried about Houston. It's also tough to beat a team twice in a year. It's tough to sweep a team, more so. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But again, to the point, though, of the call there, Scott, I think that there's a couple of things there. The signature win, I'm going to be interested to see what ultimately becomes the answer of this year, because we're not done yet. And when I say that, I also mean the postseason. That there still could be signature wins in there. Like a road playoff win, for example. That could be signature
style.
Well,
remember the Chiefs a couple years ago? They had to go on the road and win. And they came to Buffalo and won.
They did it. Yeah. So, again,
it's not out of character for teams to have to do that.
Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but the answers to your question have yet to be revealed. Ultimately. And that's pretty much what it is. But thanks for the call. Take a timeout. Come on back here. We'll talk to Pat Malcaro toward the end of the show as well as we get ready for Niagara basketball at 1 o'clock. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. Thanks for being with us here on Sports Talk Saturday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's funny how the world works sometimes, because I did want to transition to a little bit of Sabres talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now we have some breaking news. The Buffalo Sabres releasing a statement that Sabres Associate General Manager and Rochester Americans General Manager Jason Karmanos has been relieved of his duties. In the statement, we thank Jason for his contributions for the Buffalo Sabres and Rochester Americans and wish him the best in his future endeavors.
Yeah, and that's the statement from Jarmo Kekalainen himself. So
Sabres letting go of Associate General Manager Jason Karmanos.
Said he was, putting money where your mouth is, right? At this point?
Yep. He wanted to make some moves, some sooner than later.
On the Jeremy and Joe show, in his introductory press conference, mentioning that he is going to be looking into everything, right? And going to be seen, they're going to be looking into what changes can be made. This is the first domino to fall outside of Adams, right?
Obviously,
we'll see what happens going forward here. If this is kind of the first of many, and we're going to start seeing him bring his own guys in here, his own regime, kind of,
perhaps
that and might be.
I found it interesting that the Sabres also, with having Consul Helenius in Rochester, denied Helenius from playing in the World Junior. They held on to him. I don't know if that means that they're going to take a look at Helenius at some point on the Sabres this season.
Maybe they will, yeah.
Or during this, like during the World Junior Tournament sort of thing. That is interesting, though, to say the least. The Sabres made that move, ready to go, with the statement this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, that Jason Karmanos is let go by the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, the organization,
today.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I hate to see a guy lose his job. I hate to see a guy get fired. But ultimately, this is kind of exciting in a sense, right? Like, we're starting to see some changes within the organization here.
We're going to try to get Paul Hamilton on here as well to talk the latest on that. And,
like, isn't it kind of a little bit like, okay, here we go. Like, put the seatbelt on. We're going to start doing some stuff here.
Well, I got my wish.
Yeah.
If you're not going to be good, be different.
And it's activity, Derek.
Still last place in the Eastern Conference, but...
it's activity.
They're different.
The whole story with this team for the past two seasons has been inactivity.
Yes.
Adams addressed that on numerous occasions and never corrected it. Just seeing anything come across the wire from the Sabres like this, an organizational change, is surprising because it's just not normal. It's not something that they would do under the previous regime. So... I mean, I don't know. Like, I hate to see, again, someone lose their job, but change is change and activity is activity. And
right.
That's kind of where my head's at with this. Like, okay, Jarmo, like we're getting down to business on a Saturday. We're getting
on
down
a Saturday,
to business.
But, I mean, they're obviously working today.
Sure.
The Sabres have,
yeah,
the
game
against
game.
The Islanders. But this is, it's different, and I do wonder what's going to end up happening here. So... I don't know what is going to be for the rest of this year. I don't know if the playoffs are even realistic. You still have to vault everybody again.
With this division, though, this season, that's not necessarily out of the question if you string quite a few wins together.
The Eastern Conference is not quite as daunting, but you still have to vault everyone, as one Paul Hamilton has said to me often enough now. But Paul, some breaking Sabres news there. They have relieved Jason Karmanos as the AGM, and Yarmo's getting busy right away.
Yeah, his first move as general manager, associate general manager, and the general manager of the Rochester Americans. And quite honestly, I thought he did a pretty good job down there.
Right.
Because you have to sprinkle in AHL veterans to be with your prospects who are on AHL contracts, aren't necessarily Sabre property, which I thought he did a good job of, he's helping the prospects along. And the Amerks have been competitive in the playoffs. They actually made the Eastern Conference Final a couple of years ago with a team that beating teams that were pretty veteran teams, and with their youngsters. And but it could simply just be a they don't agree in philosophy. Maybe they don't agree in player development. It doesn't have to be he did a bad job. It just might be, Karmanos might have different thoughts on what player development is than Kekalainen does. So that's not, it's not like they hate each other or anything. Oh, I don't know that. But, it's not necessarily they hate each other or anything like that. It just might be a difference in philosophy that Kekalainen wants development done another way. And Karmanos didn't look at it the same way. He also may have somebody in mind for the job that he's worked with before. You know how that goes in pro sports. Not necessarily just hockey. It's like when you take over an organization like that, you like to bring in your own people, and it doesn't necessarily mean you've got something against the people that are leaving. It's just you're comfortable with your own people. You've worked with them before. You've been successful with them before. So, it's just, this is the first thing that he has done, and now, the Amerks will go in a different direction.
And that's going to be something interesting here, Paul, with what other staff changes might be made on this sort of thing, because obviously Eric Staal was brought in to be an assistant to Kevin Adams as well. There's plenty of other names in there. There's coaches that you might think could get changed over. They're nowhere near done with anything. Because Kekalainen, in the introductory press conference earlier this week, said some things might happen sooner than later. And I do think it might just be a difference in philosophy, Paul, because new regimes oftentimes want to make sure that they are in lockstep with each other when it comes to the plan. So I do think there's a lot of credence to what you're saying about Karmanos there.
Yeah, definitely. And, and he said everybody's under review. I mean, he said nice things about Lindy Ruff.
Right.
But he didn't come out and say that Lindy Ruff is going to remain the coach. For right now, he is. He has told Ruff that keep doing what you're doing. So that's for right now. Lindy Ruff's contract is up at the end of the year. If they go on a 5-game losing streak, Lindy Ruff might be up then. Lindy Ruff might get a contract extension. I don't know. We got to see what Kekalainen, how he feels about it as time goes on. And he said players are under evaluation. Coaches are under evaluation. And the hockey department is under evaluation. Everybody is under evaluation. So, and he other than talking about Lindy Ruff, he didn't want to get too deep into really naming names about anything, whether it's players or whatever. He talked more in generalities than he did with that. So this is just the first move. I'm sure there will be many more. I think there were too many people in the hockey department doing things that they weren't qualified to do. So I think Kekalainen will take care of that. And don't take me wrong here. I don't say that Jason Karmanos was not qualified to do. He was one of the qualified people. He was really the only guy that Adams surrounded himself with that had been around the NHL for a while. And it could be a really good sounding board, I think, for him. Cause he came in April of 2021, so he's been with Adams for most of his tenure there, and I always felt that was a pretty good hire. The only other thing, I know Karmanos runs the Amerks from afar. I know he's not in Rochester a lot. I know he doesn't live there. He doesn't live in Buffalo. I don't believe he does. So that might be something that Kekalainen, you know, wanted to correct. He doesn't have to live in Rochester because he was the associate general manager of the Sabres. But I think, you know, living in Buffalo might be something that Kekalainen would prefer.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline, as there was some breaking news that the Sabres dismissing Jason Karmanos from his duties as the associate general manager and the Rochester Americans general manager. Paul, they've got business tonight, though, or more of like late this afternoon against the Islanders. Winners of four straight. And quite frankly, after that first 20, 25 minutes against the Flyers, the Sabres really went in and took over against Philadelphia and made it a tilted ice.
Well, usually they don't snap out of the West, or any East Coast team doesn't snap out of that first game West Coast malaise. I mean, I can't explain it. It just happens that when I've been around the league, it happens a lot where teams go on that long West Coast trip and their first game back for the East is horrible. For the Sabres, it was a half a game, and they snapped out of it, which maybe is because there was 3 or 4 days in between.
That might have helped.
Certainly it was there to start with. That was probably the first half of that game, not probably, was the worst I've ever seen Owen Power play. I've never seen him worse. He was giving the puck away. Mm-hmm. He got beat to the outside. And Thompson was pretty much with him. Thompson was horrible too. I mean, Tortorella took Thompson apart on one replay of a Flyer goal, and rightfully so. He was absolutely right. But, you know, all of a sudden Thompson got an opportunity to score and took advantage of the opportunity, and that kind of helped the Sabres had just kind of kicked it in about that time. It was about midway through the second period, and then Power, I thought, was fine the rest of the game, you know. I mean, look at the Sabres in the third period nursing a one-goal lead. That 10 minutes into the third period, they were out shooting the Flyers 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Defending very well, including Power. And even when that 6-on-4 went on for a minute and a half at the end of the game where the Flyers were trying to tie it, no shots got through to Lyon. He did not have to make a save. There were four block shots, and Power had one of them.
Kesselring had
two of them, and Tuck had the other.
Matter of fact, that penalty kill there, you're down to four defensemen at that moment. Samuelson's in the box. Timmins has the leg injury. You have to rotate through your four defensemen on that one, so Power has to be involved in that. So it was good to see him rebound through
that. Well, he's always on the penalty kill. There's 4D that play the penalty kill, mm-hmm. but you hit it. I mean, Samuelson and Timmins are your best 2D on the penalty kill.
Right.
One's hurt, and the other's in the penalty box. But Power is – that's the one thing I can't explain to you. When it comes to Power and Timmins – they're both excellent on the penalty kill. Very good. Timmins is a shot-blocking machine on the penalty kill. Neither one of them really ever give the puck away when they're killing penalties. But especially in Timmins' case, 5-on-5, it's like night and day.
Right.
I mean, he becomes like a turnover machine 5-on-5. But penalty kill, he's great. I mean, just very, very good. And I think Power's a very, very good penalty killer also. Now, if Owen Power could just take that into his 5-on-5 play, you know, I think he would reach his potential quicker than maybe he is right now. But that is just something I can't explain to you. I don't know why.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have the time to expound on this, Paul. We got to get going here. But we'll hear from you on pregame here as that will get started at 4 o'clock on WGR. So we'll hear from you in a bit.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Paul, for the short notice appearance there. And Paul's appearance is brought to you by Railax Honda. Railax, we got this. Quick timeout. Quicker segment on the other side here as we get to Niagara basketball at 1 o'clock. We were going to have Pat Malacaro, but unfortunately we had this happen with the Sabres. I went a little long, so we got to fold this up coming up on the last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday, a shortened edition this time around. Why? Because we've got Niagara University men's basketball taking on Houghton today at the Gallagher Center. I was going to have Pat Malacaro on, but we had some breaking news. Paul Hamilton was just on with us, so unfortunately
had to make a call there, so I do apologize to Pat on that one. But for my apology, I'm also going to make sure that we are out lickety-split on time, baby, because that's what this show is all about, is making sure that we are out exactly when we need to be out of here, because that's what we always do here at WGR Sports Radio 550. Yeah, that's totally what we do all the time here, is be out on break structure. That's how it works. All right, so we've got ourselves a fairly busy couple of days here. The Sabres just announcing that they have dismissed Associate General Manager and Rochester Americans General Manager Jason Karmanos from the staff. That just happened just a few minutes ago. The Buffalo Bills signed Matthew Judon officially to their practice squad. We've got Niagara basketball coming up next. And then right after that, we've got Sabres pregame starting at 4 o'clock. And then Bills pregame gets started tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. For my co-host Joe Cali, for Evan DiPasquale on the board, for our guest Paul Hamilton, and for the man who's coming up next, Pat Malacaro, this has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Merry Christmas, everybody, because I won't be talking until after the holiday on this show. But I'll be back tomorrow morning for Bills pregame at 7 a.m.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.